Romans again, look in chapter 12, and we'll read the first two verses. Father, we thank you again to open this book. Thank you these people come tonight. The Lord, we need as much the spiritual food from this book for the new creation in Christ as we need the physical food for the body. And we pray this will be a night the table is set. God, the Holy Spirit would honor our Savior, honor the God that we trust in, and dear Father, feed our soul that we might in turn have the energy, the spiritual strength to stand upon biblical principles in these last days when there's so many falling away from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look with me in verse 1 and 2 again, we know this about heart, but Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to say, to start the introduction tonight, one of the very reasons today that most people confuse when it comes to the biblical terms is because they're trying to understand it in the energy of the flesh. And this verse right here tells us it's impossible to do that. The reason for that is this. Notice it said, first of all, be not conformed to this world. When you and I were born physically into this world, ever since the day of birth until today, this world has been trying to conform us to itself. Did you know that? Everything that you have learned from the day you was born to now in this world has been to conform us to the world. And here, the scripture teaches us we got to have something beyond that. And that's the reason why God is setting forth that what is the difference in this and those ones? The unsaved knows nothing but the conformation to this world. That's all they know. Everything they learn outside of Christ is to be conformed to this world. And because of the nature of man fallen, we're kind of like islands in the world, that we have our own ideas, we have our own ways, we have our own certain makes up in life, we have a culture we came from. There's things that were given to us coming up in homes. If a home was not religious, there was no religion. If home was religious, very religious. But you can be very religious and not have God. So I'm saying to you, from the day that a person is born physically until the day they die outside of Christ, they have done nothing but conform to this world. So that means God is anything it can want to be, since they have no standard for it. Being conformed to this world, there's no standard of that which is truth and not truth, because truth can change as fast as the culture and the world changes. And we see that. I was reading this past week some things that laws were on the books that were made years of foolish things just about, but there were laws that were passed by municipalities that today we'd even laugh at, because culture changes, and culture changes, law changes. So when we talk about being physically, we're born physically, and we're conforming to this world. Now he says, Paul says to the church, which is the born-again Christian, be not conformed to this world. The time is over. Even as a child of God, you're going to have some conforming to this world some, because we don't have all the answers, and we're still entangled with the culture that we're in. There's things that we have to deal with, and many times can't really deal with them successfully just because we're here where we're at. If we was in a foreign country, we may be worse than it is now. But our country is changing quickly, too, about Christian values, Christian ethics. There is a monopoly now of making things that really the Bible cries out has been ungodly, anti-God, and it's coming to the surface. And it seems like those who want to stand for truth get tired and quit fighting, and it keeps moving. This world, listen, this world is still conforming to the image that is setting forth as anti-God. So what happens? The difference between this world that's conforming, those who are born in this world conforming to the world, and those who are being transformed is the new birth. The Bible teaches us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? If you look with me at Romans chapter 8, in verse 28 and 29, you know this by heart, but you need to look at it back a couple pages, and let's just read it together, and especially, we all know verse 28, but then get verse 29, and it becomes controversial because we have the word foreknowledge, predestined, and things like that in it. But watch, he said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. What? To be conformed. There's the word. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can ye be transformed when this world offers everything in this world that we need to conform to it? And here he tells us, and he's talking about those are in Jesus Christ, what God has done for us. The Bible teaches us that a person who comes into this world has been conformed to this world. The only way to keep from being conformed to this world is to have the new birth in Jesus Christ. And the new birth gives us a new nature. And now having the new nature now, we have promised of God, even for the foundation of the world, he's going to do some things. And some people say, well, there's the word conform here. Some have been conformed to the image of God's Son and been conformed to the world. Must be confused. No, it's not. Because he's saying after the new birth, there's a conforming to the image of Christ. And to conform to the image of Christ is done by being born into the family of God and renewing our mind that we might know what is that perfect, good, and accepted will of God. If you look also, you find out that we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's see, yeah. Turn over just a couple of pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 16, he's talking about, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Didn't say the brain of Christ. He says we have the mind of Christ. And we talked about that back when we were looking at, to start with, about the supremacy of God. So here God is revealing some tremendous truth. Be not conformed to this world, just be born physically, and that all will happen. Those who have never been saved do not know anything except, by the way, to be conformed to this world can be conformed religious as much so as any other way. A lot of folks are being conformed to this world in a religious atmosphere. They may make them good citizens and good to live by, but don't make them candidates of heaven. And they know absolutely nothing about the God of this universe. You have to be born again. Jesus tells us that. And then we have a new nature. Paul says in Corinthians that we put off the old and put on the new. And by the way, even being born again will not renew your mind automatically. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, be not conformed to this world. It's going to happen if you just ride the tide. But be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Now, transformation is the outward working of the internal power of God for God's child. It means God's purpose becomes our purpose. And that's what he said. Don't let the world's purpose become your purpose by being conformed, fashioned like unto the world. Being more like the world, but be ye transformed. That means change the nature of, the function of, by the renewing of your mind. God's purpose. In this world, people only have a gender to please the flesh. And everything they do is self-gratification if they can come to that goal. On the other hand, when Christ comes in, there's a battle now to overcome that. And the only way to do that is to renew the mind. And the mind gives us the energy as God empowers us to do some things for him because our focus is on him and we begin to understand what the purpose of God has called us to anyhow, the purpose of man. We must stop trying to unlock our own resources, renewing our mind, and we must allow God to release his power in us to be what he wants us to be, not what we are. Most of the time we get saved and we want to stay just what we are. We can't do it. We will never be used of the Lord to stay as we are. We're to grow in grace and knowledge in the sense that where we can be transformed and then be conformed. God's desire is to conform us to the image of His Son. How does He do that? Through His precious Word. And let His mind become our mind. In other words, what I see in Him. By the way, Jesus Christ never disobeyed His Father. Jesus Christ never did sin. Therefore, he's a fairly good character to follow after. Amen? Is he not a good character to follow after? Because he lived above sin. He never did sin. So I said a couple weeks ago, for most of us in life, or most of human beings in life, life is chiseled up into fragments, and to be what we are by the fragments that we have to face in life, rather than being what we were meant to be. Christ gives us power to be transformed into what we were created to be now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting off the old man and putting on the new won't happen automatically. God has put that on our responsibility. How do you do that? Renewing your mind, knowing God's will, knowing God's purpose, knowing what God's plan is. And the Holy Spirit is weighted with the power that lives in us when we trusted Christ as Savior. It's the same thing. No one will be saved unless they receive Christ as Savior. And no one would get the Holy Spirit unless they're saved. And it's the Holy Spirit that moves in. But even when the Holy Spirit comes and moves in us to take residence in us, as God has promised, and it's a promise He keeps, even though He does that, we will not grow automatically. You know the place we grow? Going to church is good. But ladies and gentlemen, going to church won't be enough to grow if that's all we do. We got to have a diet of this book. Did you know there's a lot of people who go to church, been going to church 40, 50 years, and still babies playing around the spiritual playpen in their Christian life? This book is the only thing that's going to get us growing, because this is the only truth we have as a standard to go by. And if we don't look at the standard, who's going to be the standard? Ever who were you, a wit, a culture, the age we're living in? You take young people coming, and this breaks her heart. You take young people being born now at the rate they're going, as far as life is concerned, they're getting very little exposure to the truth of God's Word. They're getting much exposure to religion. But it's not doing anything. Next thing you know, there's a mass movement away from even religion, because they say, hey, there's no more to that, and it's what I see in the world. I'll tell you this. A Bible-believing Christian in a Bible-believing church, there'll be a difference than the world. Or either we're lying, we're faking it, and God certainly hadn't given us the arena to fake it, because we have His precious Word before us. And so again, by God's grace, problems now cease to be problems. They become opportunities that we can serve the living God. So there's two points I want to give on this, and simply this. First one is, God does empower us, once we trust Christ as Savior, to do that which we're capable of doing. And everyone else in here is capable of doing something. Ever remember this church through the years? But if you're not careful, if we're not renewing our mind that we might prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, then Satan will fill the void, and you'll find within a few years, a lot of folks get sidetracked off the main road. And it's easy to do. You can justify it. We don't do things unless we can justify it. And many times we'll become an enemy to someone if they ask and you try your best to help them spiritually by keeping on that road. And you have to back off and say, well, Lord, there's nothing I can do. And the day will come, they will wake up and realize that God always wants us to have His purpose in mind. And there's no backing up of that. Life is too short. Talking to a person the other day, just talking about how short life is and so many things he could have done, didn't do, and had the opportunity to do and didn't do, and now his life's almost gone. And just a waste of time. Ladies and gentlemen, you be honest, all of us waste our life to some degree when it comes to spiritual things. We know better as a Bible-believing Christian. We have the standard, but it's so easy for us to be conformed to the world than being transformed. Conforming to the world, just riding life itself in this world and just facing those things that we face in this life, and we're constantly just adapting to it. Renewing your mind, though, is hard work. You stay in the book. you'd analyze things, and then even then, there's many failures along the way. God employs us, though, empowers us, He employs. Have you ever heard someone, and I'm sure you have, say, you know, I don't understand how in the world this person stood that or this. I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if I could have stood that. That's so bad. I don't really know where I could have made it through that or not. And they're evaluating it when we say that based on what we think in this world. It horrifies us to the place that we think that I just can't do it. And by the way, this is the thing about the child of God. You can't do it, but God can help you do it. And that makes the difference all in the world. Only God's grace can help us operate in such eras. It is God who worketh in you. I want you to look with me in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, I'm talking about the transformed mind, the change in the nature of our mind, the function of our mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, I showed you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 said, but we have the mind of Christ. If you look with me first of all in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, watch this now. This is a command. This is as much as a command as believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior to the unsaved. It says, let this mind be in you. What mind? What mind? Which was also in Christ Jesus. In Christ been the anointed one. Jesus been his earthly name. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Right and wrong in this world, conforming to it, you're never going to get the mind of Christ. Would you at least agree with that? There's no way you can get the mind of Christ being conformed to this world. So there's got to be an activity other than that. And that activity is simply the fact that we who are saved, it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to the Lamb of God for us to make a profession of faith or trust Christ as Savior, believe the record, account that God gave of His Son. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us transform our mind when we renew that by letting this mind which was in Christ Jesus, being us. How can that be? Is that someone said, well, that's blasphemy. No, it's not, because this book would help us move towards that goal. You and I will never have the complete mind that Christ had this side of eternity. But this book tells us what that mind is, that the Holy Spirit would help us move to that goal. So God's purpose, which was Christ's purpose, becomes our purpose in our life. And it's an important factor when we begin to look at that. If you also notice with me, though, in Philippians 2, verse 13, here's what Paul said. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God that worketh in you. And the amazing thing about that, my question is simply, how does God work in us? Do I just get up in the morning and say, well, God, here I am, I'm heading out. This is the day. Folks, if I don't have something about God's purpose here, my life can't count for Him. I mean, after all, what should I do? How do I know what to do each day for His purpose? Because I know I could go out, start the day out, my purpose, set my goals and so forth, but how would I know about His purpose without His Word? I would not. I'd be spinning my wheels spiritually, so to speak. The energy I'd use may be in vain. I mean, it might be that I'd convince myself something that's be right, that's wrong. And by the way, there's a lot of people in this world doing that today. There's a lot of people right now, good people, who would not have even began years ago to say that which is wrong to be right 50 years ago like they do today. Just wanting. But we're living there. Why? We seem to have a security in the multitudes of people that do things. Security is not good when it's wrong by the multiple people that does it. Because God, what He says is right, whether they do it or not do it. And so here we live in a country today that everything that we see just about magnified as being okay, even if it's wrong. I mean, we can say what we want to about why is it that these things of same-sex marriage and things so and homosexual and those things are like they are. But ladies and gentlemen, it's been to the place that culture is accepting it. And therefore, you move something from wrong to acceptability, and then it doesn't become wrong to that society. And that's where we're at. And the sad part about it is, a lot of God's people have been quiet about it. because we can't get involved intelligently with it. We get upset and mad and make someone mad, and it does say something sometimes that may be considered a hate crime when it ought to be that we learn how to talk intelligent, even though many times the world puts us down. Jesus Christ only sees the heart. And there, I preach hard against sin at times, but I'm saying to you, I pray God always give me a compassionate heart when I talk to someone one-to-one. Because when I talk one-to-one, I realize that's a little different than preaching to hundreds. Preaching to hundreds, you don't know anything except hope God will take what's been preached to the heart. But when you're talking to an individual by themselves, it's entirely different. Amen? When I'm witnessing someone by themselves, I don't preach to them like I do from this pulpit. I have to get more specific. You say, preacher, get specific here. No, I don't. I'm saying to you, though, that there has to be a transforming of that mind that God helps us in this life. Again, God must work in us before he can work through us. If not, if God doesn't work in us, and that I know this is just, I feel like I'm pumping a dry pump sometimes. If God doesn't work in us before he works through us, we'll mess it up. Because we don't know no different. To us it seems right, and to us it seems whatever it is. But if we don't allow God to show us, teach us, so he can work through us, then we'll be in our own energy. We'll be conforming to the world, trying to do religious things to satisfy the flesh and go our different ways. And then, you know, get with a group that's going with us so we feel secure because we are going with a crowd that believes like we believe, such things as that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, we have to put off the old man and put on the new man. And without God's power, here's the thing. Please, ladies and gentlemen, this shouldn't be new, but it may be. I don't know. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, and he reveals the scriptures that it is there for us to learn, to know the mind of God, though we're so far from that. And then suddenly he talks about renewing your mind so you become conformed to the image of God's Son, which is no better person you could be conformed to, certainly better than conformed to the world. And then he talks about in that transformation having the mind of Christ. And having the mind of Christ, why? That we're conformed to him. But that not only that we conform to him, but that we might know the heart of God and try our best to be the vessel for God to use. While even though we're poor representations, the vessel that God used in the absence of Christ who was here 2,000 years ago. That we are poor representation, but that is who God has chosen and preordained to use. And that's the church, which is the body of Christ, to represent him in this day, age of grace, to get the gospel out, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, again, if I don't renew my mind by transforming it through the word of God to know the mind of Christ, then I find I won't put on the new because I don't put off the old. You can't put on the new without putting off the old. If you don't believe it, go home and start putting your coat on and never take one off. Get a new coat, put it on. Get a new coat, put it on. After a while, you won't be able to get a new coat on. Yeah, like you don't believe that. If I don't ask God to help me put off the old and put on the new, you know what's going to happen? I trust Christ as Savior. I believe the book. I'm walking with God as I knew how, but culture is not really pushing it because, you know, I get excited at the fact that you can get in this thing of praising God in such a way that there's no substance. It's just the fact it's all emotional. What happened would be this. I'll find myself satisfied religiously. Maybe Satan convincing me that I'm okay before holy God, but I'm not renewing my mind and I'm not putting off or putting on anything. And what happens is the flesh creeps back in. And it just creeps back in. And a few years go by. Sometimes don't take that long. But a few years go by and the flesh creeps in. There's a time that one is forced to study. There's a time that one maybe enjoys the study, becomes weary. And then they quit that. And when you're not putting off and putting on by the study of God's word, then flesh creeps in. And as it creeps in, eventually you come to a place, you say, well, you know, Everybody's doing nothing, and I'm doing everything. And the first thing you know, the flesh will get us to look at life different because we're conforming more to the world than to Christ. And we have the power who are saved to be conformed by transforming our mind. Please, God, help me get this across to us. So we can know what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We don't have to guess at it. We can literally know what that is this side of eternity. God took 80 years to get Moses ready where he could actually be used of God, according to Acts chapter 7. And we find out, and I've found this through the years, and I see that took 80 years. Do you think God could have done that quicker? But he took 80 years before he got Moses ready to go back down again into Egypt to lead those people. Oh, man. And yet, when God Almighty does something, God is more interested in the workman than he is the work. You say, preacher, why is that? Sure, God's interested. No, God, let me say it again. God is more interested in the workman than he is the work. Why? Because if the workman is right, the work will be right. And it starts from within, not outside. It starts with within. So if the renewal of the mind can get one thinking with the mind of Christ to be conformed, so you have the capacity to be conformed to the image of God's Son, then the workman himself or herself that is made right, then you can be sure that the work itself will be right. I think about God in the book of Numbers. If you go read that, we won't for sake of time, but chapter 11, God told Moses to gather unto some men who knew that were consecrated in Israel. Things were just too much for Moses to handle. And he said, you get some good men together and look after them, men you know, created men that you know, or support you men that you know. You choose. I'm not going to choose them for you, Moses, but you choose those men. And you choose the right men. He said, and I'll put the Spirit on them that's on you. Go read it. I'll put the Spirit on them that's on you. You need help? You got to have help. You got to have the same ideas. Got to have the same way. I'll give them the Spirit that I put on you. Now, when he said that, you can ordain a man, and I learned this, you can ordain a man only to what he already is. You can only direct a person to what they already are, unless they learn to renew it, what God has said about his mind or her mind. Woe unto a person who is placed in what he is not. They were to be led further into what they already were. In other words, we become something to become something else. We become something to become something, to become something. For what? For the glory of God. It's like faith to faith, Romans tells us. Faith leads to faith. Faith leads to stronger faith. These things gives us ability to look beyond this life into a world through faith that the world cannot see. And we're not hearing much of that today. If you'll be honest, you hear more about what satisfies and gratifies the flesh than you do about how we should be living and what this Bible tells us. Go to church and you can just feel everything but substance. And you go back to the world. And you end up not anything. It's not long before that. If that's all there is, gratify the flesh. When you go to one church, it won't be long before that won't satisfy, because you've got to have a high, and you'll go to another, and you'll go to another, and go to another, and go to another. You can't ever be satisfied. Folks, only God satisfies. And that's what the Word of God will do to our hearts when we really study it and ask God to help us. We go through the Scriptures. True success comes to us in Jesus Christ. Discontentment causes spiritual wandering. Leaders must not be self-centered. They have to be God-centered. And God says, I'll empower you. I'll give you the empowerment to those that I call and employ. I'll give that to you. But you got to renew your mind. You got to put off and put on. You got to have a vision. You got to have creativity to know that I am a created God. Look at what I made. You're going to have what is needed to not only plan, but carry out the plan. And I'll be with you every step of the way. Because what I do will do through you as you let me work through you. You can't just say, I'm going to sit and things are going to happen, because it won't happen that way. You have to be busy. You wonder why we work so hard. You'd be surprised if you just knew Barbara and I's gender. Or not gender, you know that, but Amen. I am a man. She is a woman, by the way. But you'd be our, help me, itinerary. Agenda. Yeah, that's good, brother. Thank you. Agenda. What I'm saying is, you cannot be lazy. You can't do it. You try, but you can't do it. And so what's happened is here, we're seeing that God empowers us, and He gives us many things that we have to do. The second thing, and I'm going to close here, in the Bible, one thing's missing today when it comes to the transformed mind, and that's repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not true repentance today in most places in this world, in our nation. Thank God we do have order here, and people do come down, and we do pray with them, and we do see people in the office of time that we go through things and show repentance. But repentance is something been left out today. Why? Because nobody thinks they sin. You know what? They don't have a standard. The law, we've thrown it out. And we who say we believe in the law don't even know what it stands for. You say, well, I do. I know there's 10 commandments. Hey, but it's all head knowledge. Did you know that? Would you be honest with me? I looked a few weeks ago in the mirror and I said, what do I know about 10 commandments? I can quote them. I know where they're at. I know when God gave them. But how in depth do I know them? How do I know what they do? I mean, sometimes people say, well, what's the difference if they do take them down? You hide them in your heart. They're no good in your heart if they're not working. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to get my message Sunday morning, but do you know that God's law is given more so to bring us to Christ than anything else? Because it shows us how much we need Him. We brag about, I don't do this, I don't do that. I don't commit adultery. I don't kill. But yet there's things that somewhere in that line of those 10 commandments branches out would touch us all. And James said, if you offend it in one place, you'll guilty the whole thing. So what is it doing? It's showing us we need help. And it brings conviction. And it brings to see sin. And we realize that we can't take care of our sin. And it brings us a schoolmaster, Paul says to the church at Galatians, to the Lamb of God. How would I know sin? The Bible, repentance, is not been done. You know, Bible repentance is change. Reconciliation is changed through thoroughly from something to something. We change from the way we live to the way we are trying to live for the Lord now. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, but there's a change in our life. Never assume that real change will come without struggle and prayer. This is another thing that's been misled today. Change in life won't come without struggling and prayer. I'm glad God got me over that. Years ago, I could not believe trying to serve God would cause me such heartache and such pain. My wife and I pray many times. I can't understand how in the world doing the most wonderful thing in the world, serving God, could cause us such heartache and such pain. But it does. And by the way, you don't know what it is to, as far as a pastor and his wife, but I'll tell you this, you know what it is where you're at. If you'll be honest, you've had more heartache and pain since you got saved than you did before you got saved. And Satan's fighting all the time. If not, just hang on. He'll do everything that God permits him to do until God gets us home. One moment with God's Spirit, it can lead you to a place of repentance that you will not find or enjoy on your own. The flesh doesn't like to repent, so it's never going to do it on its own. The flesh is going to enjoy what it enjoyed. But I'll tell you this, you let the Holy Spirit of God touch your heart about something and begin to gnaw away, and He won't leave you alone. Until you do like the prodigal son, whatever it is. And I'm not saying that because anybody's in sin. I'm just saying this is true. The prodigal son said, I've sinned against my father. And he comes and asks God, his father, to forgive him. No one repents without seeing the need to repent. And I'll say this in close. I am absolutely sure that my flesh will never feel to repent in its own. I can say with authority, your flesh and my flesh together will never want to repent over anything on its own. It's got to be something to come to us to convince us, because we'll justify why it's okay. You know how I know that? I listen to every time I had people say, I know, preacher, but that just felt so good. I just thought God wanted me to have some happiness. And I don't believe God's going to take that happiness away. It just felt so good. And they're talking about adultery. Ladies and gentlemen, that don't make sense to me. That's the flesh talking. Well, I know I shouldn't have done this, but I just wanted it so bad I took it. And I have done without so much, I just believe that God has forgiven. You don't ask for God has forgiven. We justify what I'm saying to you. Our flesh will never want to repent on its own energy. We listen to God and do what God says, or we don't. If we depend on it, well, I didn't repent because I never see the need to repent. Well, if I stay out of this book, I'd probably go the rest of my life not see the need to repent, because this flesh never wants to repent. It's always going to stand up and justify that what I do is right. Because after all, I'm an intelligent man. After all, I've got enough sense. I'm assuming he's 72-year-old. I've got enough sense that surely I've got enough track record now. No, sir. This flesh is as weak now as it was 19 years old. And I know that. And God puts it on guard all the time, that where I can realize this flesh. I can't depend on this flesh. I have to depend on Him. And then, God, please help me. Maybe I'd be here more responsible for this anyway. Help me renew my mind. Because I'm saved. Renew my mind that I may prove what is acceptable, perfect, and good will of God. And at the same time, have Christ's mind in me that I may understand the will of God for my life. Focus on Him. I'm not spotless. I know without a doubt there's a lot of things wrong with me. And I'm honest before God. And God knows I talk to Him a lot. But I'll tell you this. He knows my focus. He knows my heart. He knows what God has laid me to do and how hard I tried to do that. And I realize that this book is important for me to understand. I cannot be perfect. The new creation is. You cannot be perfect. But you could, the new creation in us is. But I'll tell you, with God's help in renewing the mind, there is a thing of blameless that we can come. Why? If I will not be blameless in a situation of something, and God shows it to me, and I ask God to forgive me, for the purpose of turning from towards, this thing of forgiving, asking forgiven, and doing it the next day, that's just a bunch of waste of hot air. But I'm talking about that if I know, and then I ask forgiveness of that, I'm still blameless now. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John said, cleanses us all from all sin. I'm talking about we started with God where we're at, and it will lead to the last thing a few weeks from now. That's the greatest success for Christian living in this life and even the life to come when we get home with the glorified body. Father in heaven, dear Lord, I reckon it's boring. And dear Father, I really believe that this book is a precious book. It's beyond anything that we could ever see in this life. And I believe what I've said about the Holy Spirit. I need your help. And I thank you so much for the blessedness to understand how much I need my mind renewed. And Lord, it don't come natural for me. I've studied hard. I don't understand why you couldn't give me a good photographic mind so I could just read and get it. Man alive, it doesn't come easy to me. But I promise and try my best to look and study and put it together in a way that I can understand it, and that takes some time. And then I pray, Holy Spirit of God, help me lay it out so simple that we can grasp it wherever I go for the glory of God. That's our desire, our heart's desire. Bring glory to you. And I pray for enemies. I pray for people who don't understand that, but I do pray that first and foremost, we as a body of believers keep our eyes upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.